are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Today's show is brought to you by Bullorn Manukian LLP, one of the finest law firms in the state of California, with a 98% success rate. You know the number. Call them at 747-444-4444. Ask for Vahe, Ashat, Hike, Ani, David, Shushan, and that better be everybody because they'll kill me. They got a full staff, interns, paralegals, ready to give you your free quote, your free, what's the word I'm thinking here, Cheese?
Free quote.
Your free quoting. All right. Blorian, Manukian, LLP. Sam, just bring everybody in. This is Those Casual Reds. We've got one of the finest stateside panels you can find. I am the one they call Casey, a.k.a. Face, Casey the survivor, Gale, fourth floor they were calling me Doodoo Bag. It was crazy. It was time.
Old chap.
Morphine champ.
$6 million man.
Steve Austin. I'm the new Steve Austin. But anyway, I don't want to make a joke about a thing. I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm just going to go around and say hi to everybody. How you doing? Cheese, what's going on?
Brother, it's good to have you back. Good to see you. Please take care of yourself. We've done already been interviewing for new birds to take proper care of you.
That's funny.
It's a long process, but you know, we have started it. So application process in review.
My man, Germ, how you doing over there?
What's up? Casey here in the flesh, man. Boy, it's good to see you today.
It's good to see you guys, too.
It's a good thing to see that you recover much faster than Luke Shaw.
Wow, that's very hurtful, but to Luke, but true. My man, yeah. Bandito, representing California. How we doing, brother?
Good, good. Good to see you back in the studio. We're all worried about you, and you know, Germ was holding it down. We're like,
yeah, I watched the show.
Casey over here.
I watched the show. I was very entertained. I laughed. To the foreigners, Sean, Pittsburgh. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Absolutely doing great. Just chilling out, waiting for the weekend, but doing good.
And finally, my brother, Mr. Abrasive, Mr. Sets Twitter on fire, Facebook's most wanted.
He's not here to be liked.
People are too soft. We're too reactionary. My guy, Big Mikey, represent ATL. How you doing, bro?
What's up, bro? Hey, it's good to see you, but real quick.
Oh, no.
Ladies and gentlemen. It's happy days are ahead.
That is not nice. You know what? I didn't want to do that early. Well, we're going to get to McTominay. We're going to get to that. We've got a lot to talk about. We got Liverpool on the horizon. We got transfers. But the first thing I want to talk about is the game that just what happened, the game that we lost. I know Sean, Mikey talked about it. They had a great show yesterday. Indeed. Really enjoyed it.
Indeed.
So our show, we need to talk about it. So I'm going to get into it with the guys who've not talked about it yet. We'll save Sean and Mikey for last. We'll get Bandito, your thoughts on our loss to Brighton. And I don't want to go too long. I don't want to go too long.
We're unlucky. On the, a couple times and some real moments of just losing your head and schoolboy defending for their two goals. One off a cross that your center back has to deal with. It comes right across his face. He's got to deal with it. That's Harry Maguire. Mm-hmm. Not all his fault. Leicha got dragged out of position and left, you know, the entire box for, you know, Maguire to handle. the but to concede at the end like that, off of you know, half of the guys are man marking, half of the guys are zonal marking, and the whole team forgot about one half of the field. So it was ups and downs in the game. So at times we looked really good, we were pressing well, causing them a lot of problems in their own half. They're supposed to be, you know, this dynamic passing team that cuts through people. At moments we looked not so great, but I thought we were unlucky, and I thought we deserved a point out of the match. So
I agree.
You never like to lose a match, but to lose on, you know, the last minute like that by just absolutely turning off your brain and going to sleep is a tough one to swallow.
That turning off your brain is a great way to describe it. I'm gonna say how I felt about it. I thought Brighton didn't do anything to get the goals. I thought it was us mentally checking out. I have some concerns about that. It seems like there's a trait about us that was there last year, and it seems like we have it this year. Guys are not taking responsibility, initiative to be, I don't know, scan, be aware, understand that there could be something going on behind you. But I want to get into that. Jerm, what do you think? What do you think about that?
I mean, yeah, it's like almost like a tale of two halves. You know, play a little bit better in the first half, second half. What you can say is that we got like Fergie times, right? Where we used to so accustomed to us being on the other side, right? Having that Fergie time. So for them to do that, right? I think that's what hurts the most, right? That it happened like what, the 95th plus minute?
Yeah, those suck.
And you can
yeah.
say on a brain fog, right? On just defensively. I mean, at the end of the day, I think Mikey mentioned that. That's what I did catch on the show, that Brighton just kind of have our number. And there's just some teams that just kind of have your number, the style of, this could be the style of play, right? But I saw some positives. It's not like it's the end of the world. I do not want to be overreactionary and say, because of that, Erik ten Hag has to be out.
Yeah, that happened.
The only thing I can say is that some of that decision-making does leave you scratching your head, right? But yeah, that's my take on the game.
Cheese.
Right. Well said. Mr. Ten Hag, my favorite, because, you know, I always have to.
You know, you had a flip flop on the Lodo.
Tell me how. We about to be three games into the season. Just tell me how I'm already flip flop.
Because I feel like you're not Ten Hag out, but you're like Ten Hag, like.
It's a 38 test. exam.
I've got you.
All right.
Okay.
It's a 38 test exam.
All right.
We have one pass so far, one fail so far.
Facts.
Dealing with the fail, the last game, we passed the first half. I thought we passed the first half because right off the bat, I knew Brighton has a problem. To Mikey's point, they have our number. Ten Hag alone, I believe, has lost to them four times, if I'm not mistaken. Like him alone.
Yes, he has.
Yeah. Mourinho got beaten. Ole got beaten. Ten Hag alone lost to them four times already.
You said some interesting things.
So they have our number, and I thought we passed the first half because I think we went in 0-0. I believe that was 0-0 we went in. But then the second half, man, and especially the last 20 of the second half, absolute fail. Like, we, like, completely lost it. And I'm not sure if we lost steam or our vibes had broke after the offside goal. The goal got called offside. And
the mood dropped.
Yeah, and we weren't in the lead anymore. I don't know if, like, that literally took the steam out of anything, but that was one of the worst last 20s I've seen us play. Like, going back to losing the game against Chelsea. I don't even want to talk about that from last season.
No.
Like, when we like, that's like that. That's giving me feelings. Flashbacks. Like that. So, yeah. So, it's so, and that's the type of stuff I want stamped out. And it's like, so Mr. ETH, are you working on this stuff? Because Brighton's coach, right? The man them sends the Zerbi gone to Marseille for coach Mason Greenwood. And you have a manager who's born after the Premier League.
Wouldn't you say that we're trying to be like Brighton, where you can remove a coach and the system stays the same way?
I hope that's
where
we're going.
They're 4 years ahead of us. They're literally 3 to 4 years ahead of us.
Facts.
So I get you.
Yeah, man, that's a big fail for me is all I'm saying. So ETH, you got your work cut out for you.
You're not out, but you're like opening the door.
We move on to Liverpool. I'll wait for that. But yeah, man, that's a huge fail on the weekend. You guys talking about we deserve a point? You have to earn every blood clot point in a Prem.
True. But you'll never see an offside like that ever again.
True. Knee.
Ever.
After my knee. I was like, you couldn't just be over the line.
Because they're saying that offsides is because he actually guided that in, but that was going to go in.
It was going to go in, but he touched it before it crossed the line. So, yeah.
Let me go to my big boss here, Mikey. Mikey, you said something interesting on the last week's show that I missed, and it actually helped me deal with this loss a lot better. You guys were talking about when we beat Fulham, and everybody, Mikey said this, I see no team that looked good, but he said Brighton was the one team that looked good. Well, whoever Brighton beat, was it Everton?
Yeah.
3-0. And he said, that's the only team I saw that looked good. Yep. So now I said to myself, okay, well, we've never even beaten Brighton in a while.
Yep.
I'm thinking, Mikey, is this as bad as a loss as everybody making it out to be?
I mean, it's a tough loss, bro. Like, you don't want to lose that way. And I'm with you. You got to earn every point. I'm not into the, like, we deserve this. You deserve what you got. You don't take your chances. This is what happens. And sometimes you get hard done. That's just what it is. Is this a bad loss? No. It's the second game of the season, bro. And like I said, we don't do well at the Amex. We either have to scrape a win at the Amex or we lose. That's just what it is. I remember we scraped one a couple years back on a penalty. You know, it just is what it is. And we fell asleep defensively. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think it's cause for concern. I don't think any of that stuff. I am happy with, like, the changes we've made to try to mitigate these things going forward, right? We're getting a lot of our things answered. Yes. So now, with these things being answered, let's see if we carry on losing this way, right? Getting the CDM that we want. Shipping out the deadwood that we want. Now, if these things happen going forward, now you can really start saying, all right, bro, we gave you the time. You're getting the players now. Guys are coming back healthy, and we're still getting it. It's still happening this way. If it happens like this 17 games from now against, I don't know, Ipswich, then you could be like, all right, now, come on. Like, what is this? But we're keeping on trend, giving up games late, scoring a goal and conceding. Not locking games off, not finishing our food, losing on dodgy decisions. So I don't think it's cause for concern yet, especially with all the people we've brought in. But let's just, you know, hang tight.
Sean, to you, I'm going to start you off with a question. What did you feel the substitution, the usage of Lit?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel about that?
I thought it was a terrible decision to bring him on so late. You could clearly see Harry Maguire wasn't having a good game. I said this last night, you know, okay, he's not fit. Okay, so what's 10 minutes going to do? Training can only get you somewhere. But to be match fit, you need to play in the game. And he needed to be on to have more impact in the game. Bringing someone in the 80th minute is, you know, you throw somebody on to score a goal who is a goal scorer. It's not someone you throw in defense. You change the whole dynamic of the defense. The goal wasn't De Ligt's fault at all. You could clearly see him going in for the block of the goal, putting his hands behind his back. I just think the substitutions overall were just atrocious. Like, why are you... Like, okay, you want to give McTominay his farewell, you know, 10 minutes. Okay, give him a farewell 5 minutes. I don't know why you're taking off arguably your best player on the field, who can only person on there that's pretty much creating chances, and bring McTominay on. I thought it was a terrible decision. He has to start De Ligt at centre-back. He has to start De Ligt at centre-back versus Liverpool. This has gone on long enough with Harry Maguire making mistakes. The first goal was clearly his fault. I don't know why he's not trying to put that ball out of play. I just thought it was terrible substitutions.
All right. Well, I think we're pretty much all in agreement. I thought my final notes of the game, I really didn't understand. Like, I'm done with the false nine thing.
Yep.
I'm done with that. Yeah. We have a striker in place. Let's get it going. I think Erik ten Hag has to play his guys now. It's not a, he doesn't have, he's lost leeway. And the fan base, and we have this toxicity problem, he's got to understand the masses will build up and make it harder for him. And I don't want him to second guess himself, get too cute, play your guys, mm-hmm. let's go. And you've got to win.
Real quick, he has like, now that Ugarte signed, so we all know that Ugarte's signing, the deal will be done tomorrow. He had until Friday. So he can play on Sunday now.
Yeah.
Ugarte has the
ability. Oh, so he has to be registered by Friday?
Registered by Friday. Okay. He has to start the game. Like, I'm start. Super tired of this whole we're unfit stuff. We're going to guide them into the game. He has to start.
Start. I'm with you. I think these guys are footballers. I get it. People say, oh, got to get him match fit. No. Let's go. This guy, we need to get him playing. We need him going. We need to – listen, guys, Casemiro did a good job. He had three good halves. He died in that second half. And it's starting to look crazy, like his lunges. You guys just think like his lunges even look slower than they did last year for a while?
Hey, we got a couple comments.
Go knock him out.
Glenn says, don't agree, Sean. Maguire was brilliant and has been both openers. He says it's Dallo's fault. Ronaldo says, oh, flower of Scotland, when will we see you again?
Did you guys see
fault? I'm sorry, Glenn, but
go ahead.
I was going to say, Glenn, you're the only person on this planet that thinks that wasn't Harry Maguire's fault. You're the only person on the planet. Because everybody that I know in the bar and everyone that I know back in England all called that on Harry Maguire.
Yeah, I felt him not taking the initiative to handle that ball was very unprofessional. I don't know why he's waiting for another person to handle it. Listen, Harry Maguire has been spectacular, but that right there showed us every reason why Dele should be starting. And he said Dele played bad.
I'm pretty sure Dolo had an excellent cross into the ball. That
yeah, right exactly. That's what I talked about
before. I was waiting for
him. He had that on his left foot, too. It's not even like his strongest foot. Yeah.
Well,
and
you know,
a beautiful pass.
We're here for everybody's opinions because on this show, every red matters.
Every red matters. Ronaldo says first goal on Harry, second goal was on the tired defense.
Exactly.
I agree with that.
One thing I want to add just real quick on your McSauce stuff, Casey. I was looking at the page on Instagram and some comments, and I'm like, you know, one of these comments kind of summed up how I felt. It was like a lot of Man United fans have gotten used to below average players so much. There's a difference between playing for the badge and playing to a standard for the club. I'm glad we have sold him. Tired of seeing below average players claiming to play for the damn badge.
That's a fair shout.
100%.
That's a fair shout. Listen, it's no secret. None of our secrets. We've all questioned the usage of Scotty McTominay. I mean, Bandito, do you want to jump in on this? Have you ever seen a moment
Listen. We all know his shortcomings.
Yeah.
And we all know that squad player at best. And right now it's a business decision that you can get some funds for him. He's an academy player, so it's 100% sustainability. I don't mind that. I know that some people will say, yeah, keep him, and other people say, you know, look at his shortcomings. What I don't like is people calling him a bum and a scumbag, and you know, he should never wear the badge. He's played for United with his heart since he's 7 years old. I don't get it. I don't get the disrespecting, you know, players and going in on players. If you're playing, you put it on that shirt, you're playing, I'm going to support you. Your shortcomings and
I think we lost Mike on the sound there.
I think we lost everybody.
There. We're pretty toxic.
Back. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of thing I don't like. Now the criticism of his game, that is fair game, and I just wanted to make that point.
To be fair, real quick,
go ahead.
He was played out of position for a number of seasons.
God, you read my mind.
He was played in that sixth role next to Fred, arguably one of the worst duos of all time for Manchester United.
Was it?
He was
the dynamic duo.
Yeah, it was pretty
McFred.
Bad. you know, broken clocks right twice a day just because we finished second, you know, during the you know, COVID era, you know, doesn't mean we're good, and didn't mean the Lakers were good when they won that title.
Oh, wow. You've been hanging out too much.
Yeah. You're really in Atlanta now.
You run to Atlanta, huh? When you need a paycheck.
Okay, let's keep it united. Keep it going. That's so funny.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I agree. I think that a lot of Scotty was played that position a lot. You know, I've never said he was a nothing personal. I've always said my disagreement with him was he does not help us in build-up play.
Word.
No.
You're consistent.
That's been, does not help us in build-up play. And it's,
yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been the worst player, but the fact that we compare him to Fellini shows you where his game is.
Yeah.
That's all okay. It is.
This is what I'm going to say. Because, like, I'm hearing all you guys, right?
Yeah, listen.
But the thing with me and McTominay is that, like, he doesn't get the flack that a lot of guys get for playing the way he plays, right? Because he'll score a goal and not show up for seven games. That's my thing. And then let's talk about passion. Passion, 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 passion merchants, okay? It's always passion. Passion is a prerequisite to being in this club. It's not. It's like taking care of your kids. You're supposed to.
Don't give me nothing about
if he was so passionate. Why didn't he just step instead of wanting all his money before he left, like Aaron Wan-Bissaka?
But
for the betterment of the club, that's fine. Don't call him a bum. He wasn't a bum. He wasn't a scrub. He was a decent player. But my issue with him is people were making him out to be more than what he was, and he didn't get flack because he would save us with the occasional goal. And if you say anything around certain people, why are you talking about McTominay? They'll look at this person, look at that person, and it's like, no, look at him. He gets scrutiny like everybody else should get scrutiny when they play poorly, and they get praise when they play well. That's how it's supposed to go. It's supposed to be even.
I feel like Scotty takes a lot of flack, though. I feel like people have dissected Scotty's game. I feel like people have gone and... Okay, I'm just going to say, I don't know how you guys feel, but anybody I've watched who break down the game, they attack Scotty. They destroy Scotty. People who understand football go at Scotty because they see his attributes are not what is not for this team.
Look at today. Look at today, people. Oh, I think it was a bad decision. Look at Rio. It was a bad decision. We're going to come to rue and lament this day. An average player like Scott McTominay, it was a bad decision. Why? Because he bleeds United blood. Shut up, please, with this. Does Haaland bleed Manchester City blue? Does he? No, he does not. He plays well, and that's why we big him up. But people big him up. That's what it's about, bro. This United DNA thing has us in a chokehold.
But
the problem Rio had, that what I had with what Rio said, he said that, you know, Man United, in, you know, when he was there, they needed those players to make go. Yeah, there's a difference between Erik ten Hag and Alex Ferguson, okay? You know, like, there's a difference, okay? So, yes, those players were kind of there and supported Man United. But tactically, they were better than Scott McTominay. I heard the great thing that someone said to me today was, if Scott McTominay had Jadon Sancho's skill, it would be incredible. And if Jadon Sancho had McTominay's mentality, he would be incredible too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a fair point.
All right, let's jump on to
this. I agree with Mikey. I bleed red. Give me a shirt. He was wanked. Thank God he's gone. Ronaldo says bubble shots. And Glenn says, are you a former center back? And did you not see Onana tell him he couldn't reach it? I guess he's talking about the goal stuff. He said that a minute ago, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And salute to the comments.
Gotta read our comments. Read our comments.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Just to wrap this up, since
Ronaldo said, if my aunt had a dick, she'd be my uncle.
Who said that?
Ronaldo.
Boy, what goes on in the South?
Exactly. What goes on over there in Atlanta, right? So want to segue into the transfers.
Let's get into these transfers. Yeah. Let's talk about our – let me just read some names off. Let's the final window here. Well, we got Zerski at 34, Euro at 42 euros, De Ligt at 38 million pounds, or is that no? These are all pounds. I'm sorry. Mazzarri at 13 million, and Ugarte, who has just landed, at 42. Let's just go ahead and go ahead, Jeremy. You take it. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to mention, right? I wanted to segue from McTominay because he left, right? The transfers, the buying and selling of players. Now that we got Ugarte, right, that he's coming in, how are we going to rate this transfer window thus far? Seeing players like you just mentioned, Casey, Ugarte coming in. We just mentioned pre-show, right? We're not really going to get into the whole Jadon Sancho.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but mainly Ugarte.
I'll do mine first. I'll rate my window first. I actually thought it's a complete window. I would give it an 8 out of 10 being the highest. Yeah. I'll give it an 8. I think we fill needs. What I like was we did it within the profile age. Mm-hmm. The prices.
Mm-hmm. No United
States. Everybody fits the system. Everybody's functionable. You know, we didn't sign like a 100 million striker for no reason. Yep. I thought that we brought in good players. I mean, winners, guys who've played good football. I mean, I think Euro might be the youngest. I think the DeLitt signing is going to be better in even 3 years down the road. I think we have a leader. I want us to have character guys in the locker rooms, and I feel like we have some leaders. I mean, now we don't have to wait on Martinez to get the team go. Ugarte's there. DeLitt's there. And I'm excited. I'm very pleased with this first Ineos window. From what they had to work with and what they got out, I thought they got busy. They did more in one window than Woodward and these guys have done in,
10 years.
I'm going to say legitimately, maybe 6 years. But I'll give it an 8. I'm going to give mine an 8. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Glenn says best window in 10 years, and Ronaldo says 7 window.
7? Wonder why.
What would I say an 8. I say an 8. I remember we said on the last show, I was like, if we get Ugarte, I think it'll be an 8 window.
Exactly. That's where we
are. That's what I think. I think I agree with Glenn. It's the best window we've had in about 10.
Yeah, excellent window.
12 years.
Yeah, not just because of the incomings, but the outgoings also. Yeah.
And like you guys said on your show, sorry, Bandy, that's you. Like you guys said on your show, our bar is set low. You know, our mm-hmm. bar is low anyway. So for us to say an 8 is pretty spectacular. Who you going next?
Mike Cheese, go next.
No, 8 for me. I'm with Mikey. It's 8 for me. I'm with Mikey because, yeah, we previously talked about it, and we were like, yo, it's the best window in a long time. We give them a 7. If they get Ugarte, that's an 8. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Bandito. What you got, Bandito?
Okay, go let Bandito go then.
Yeah, I think at 8 too, we've got a mix of, you know, we only did one marquee signing, which is a young player.
Yeah.
So I think the thought was instead of go out and get this really great player for 100 mil and try to raise the ceiling, I think what we did is we tried to raise the floor. So strengthen our bottom, right? So we've got, you know, 5 players that could come in. And like you guys have said, I'm just, you know, they fit a system. They seem to be of good character. And you know, the price is, you know, about 30 to 40. And then we had outgoings. People forget about that as well as in your window is you got to get players going out. So yeah, good business. For Ineos, it looks like, you know, they got a good one this time. They look like they know what they're doing. You know, the window's not done, so maybe we get another player out.
On that, what you said, Bandito, I got a question here from Brian. It says, what signings would bring that above an 8, or is it just not enough Deadwood out?
A left back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We get a
left back and Sancho gone, 10 out of
10. Ooh, 10 out of
10. I would go with the left back. I would go to a fullback, a football could go both ways because I think we need a fullback and a right back.
You trying to segue into this Sancho, Sterling, Chilwell stuff?
All right.
No way.
I mean,
it's just dead boring.
Yeah, I mean, now that Sean told us that it's coming from the Chelsea end, and I thought I heard that Ashworth had favored the player, but you know, when they say favored or is known to like the player, the media will run with it and create more buzz than it is. So Chelsea's creating this. It does not make sense to me.
Good. Yeah,
from what I'm hearing on the Juve end too, they weren't looking at a loan to buy option. And from what I'm hearing now, they are looking at a loan to buy option. So it just goes to show you put some media crap out there just to spin it towards Juve or another team, and that other team will bite.
I will say this. I am against that Raheem Sterling coming here, right?
Yeah.
But depending on what wages he's on, a straight swap, if they're on the same wages, straight swap just for depth, we don't lose anything. We're still paying the Santo Brooks instead of loaning him, paying his wages and he's not here, paying half his wages and he's not here to get money later. We go get the experienced guy, pay the same amount, let him stay here a couple years. Raheem Sterling's played and been in big competitions for big clubs. Can't take that away from him. And to be honest, he's close. He might be better than Marcus Rashford. It's like at 29 years old, give or take. Give it and take. So if the money is close, I would switch the – I would only – but it would have to be straight swap, wage for wage, right? Right now, I take it because I don't want to pay somebody's purse and they're not here.
Yeah.
The problem I have with that is you're swapping a 29-year-old who's going to be 30 pretty soon for a 24-year-old. And what happens if he goes to Chelsea and cooks?
Who?
We're going to look like complete fucking idiots.
No,
if
we're
Sancho
not.
Goes to Chelsea, yeah, we will. If we swap a 24-year-old Sancho and he goes to Chelsea and he cooks, and we take a Raheem Sterling who can't, he's about as good as Darwin Nunez in front of goal, we're going to look like complete idiots.
Yeah, but on the team's defense, like, I mean, who has really gone out in Chelsea and cooked? Besides Cole Palmer, right?
But I hear what Sean's saying.
I don't think he will.
I mean, it'll look crazy in the long run because he's younger. But honestly, Sean, Sancho's cooked, bro. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
I should have paid attention. There was a Man City fan that I seen years ago.
Where'd you see a Man City fan? Where'd you find them?
It was this YouTube channel that I seen. It was years ago. And when we got Jadon Sancho, I just took it as hate. He's like, in a few years, he's gonna be out in Watford. He's like a wasteman type of player. He's not good enough. And I was just taking that as just Man City hate. But now those words that I heard are like a prophecy that's being completed now, and it hurts, right?
I'm scared. Rashford is gonna be our next Sancho. When I look at Rashford, I don't know. You guys tell me. I feel like he's lost that drive and that hunger. Because
I don't think it's driving hunger. I think he has some mental health issues.
Wow. Yes. Okay. Well, that's different. Right? I mean,
I think it's in his head. He just has some issues in his head. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. We have serious. To be fair with Mikey, like, he can't be any worse than Rashford than Anthony right now. So
he's better than both of them.
I wouldn't say better than both of them. I said right now.
The last time I saw Sterling play, I thought he was kind of unlucky with some goals, but he was one thing he was doing. He's attacking defenders. He was still going at him. He was trying to. He still got pace. I got a personal beef because he does not play for Yard, but I don't want to talk about that. We're going to let that go. But I think all in all, because, you know, I cuss Sterling. Y'all know I cuss Sterling. But all in all, I think he still has something in him. It's Chelsea that decided that they don't want to deal with him no more. But Chelsea screwed up.
That's just the worst run club right now.
All right, so
I just wanted to mention about you talking about the transfers, everyone coming in. I mean, you just see the age, right? They're on the right age of 20. They're like, what, 25, 26, 25. I was just doing the math. I mean, the average is for all the players is like 23 and less than a half. So we're getting younger. We're getting guys that are going to be in their prime physically, rather than getting him at the tail end like Casemiro, right? We see the difference. He was good for 1 year. After that, he was ran over. That's it. He had no more legs. Now we're just trying to see a good game every, what, 5 games from him? Now that we have Ugarte, we can get.
Read exactly. Some comments first, Mikey.
Ronaldo says, Rashford smelling like a big bitch. There was a story with McLaren trying to hype him up in practice. Rashi had a problem. Like, what the F is up in your head? Beto said, if we get anybody from Chelsea, I want it to be that guy from Chelsea that scored a hat trick. Don't know what you're talking about. Glenn said, I'll swap Rashford for Welbeck. Cole World in Bruno Air, Ronaldo. And the plan is Lindelof to leave for Hermoso, signs on a free. He could play left back. He's also our center back. He could cover up for now. He could be our. Yeah.
Is this Bruno talk? I mean, this is Beto hit.
This is Beto. Yo, Beto just go.
Beto be work hard, bro. I'd be like, God. One time Beto, he did a post.
I mean, this Fabricio is right there.
He did a post that he got a comment from a team's trainer. I said, what? How do you talk to a team trainer? Where do you get this information from?
He talks to trainers.
Boy.
Beto knows. Here we go.
Boy, so we got about 10 minutes left. Big game.
Yes, sir.
This weekend. My man Sean has already put the flag down. Ugarte has to play. Has to start.
I'll double down on that and say Zerski and De Ligt as well.
Just give them a 45, man.
1-0.
Give them a 45.
One thing,
start your guys. Definitely start with a striker.
I want to ask you guys, why not start Garnacho and leave Rashford on the bench?
Okay, well, let's do
that. Absolutely.
What has Garnacho done last year to warrant him being on the bench this year, starting off? I mean, I get it. Ahmad's not playing horrible.
The last 2 games, right?
So, yeah, I get it. Ahmad's not playing horrible.
2 games, 0 shots. Bench him.
I like where this is going.
What warrants him being on the bench and Rashford starting?
Playing too much last year.
I don't know. Who wants to jump in? Tell me you're Liverpool. Go ahead, Bandito.
Young players, you have to manage their minutes. And one of the reasons we Garnacho tailed off is because we ran him too many minutes. We tend to rely too much on young players instead of managing their minutes. But this is big game time.
Thank you.
And I don't know. What's the formula? Do we do what we did City FA Cup? Or we just like open it up and go for it. What do you guys think?
Who wants to jump in?
I say, start the guys. Start the guys. This is a big game. Let them play. Give them if they're horrible, hook them. It's okay. It won't be the end of their career. It's all right. De Ligt, get in there. Garnacho, start that. Xerxes, number 9. Yeah. Like, let's see it. Let's play. Ugarte, get in there. Let's see it. Let's just see this brand new United. Yep. There's going to be plenty of time to tweak and change and against smaller sides. Plenty of games. Got a lot of games to play, bro. We're in European competition. Okay, we got FA Cup. We got the League Cup to worry about and the league. Plenty of games to try things. This one, go for the jugular and let the new guys show what they can do. I think it's a great litmus test to go up against this Liverpool side who are a decent side. They're not terrible. They're better than they were last year, in my opinion.
What I saw from Liverpool is when they got the lead, it didn't look like they were going to lose the lead. They kept coming. They kept playing hard. They're all about controlling. Sean.
Real quick, I'll touch on that. Liverpool do look good. The problem is they're one injury away from being absolutely atrocious. This whole not signing anybody and having a almost 33-year-old defender with not very good backups is, you know, not a good thing for Liverpool. But back onto Manchester United, I agree, Garnacho needs to start. I looked at some stats earlier with Rashford. He completed 0 of his take-ons this week. He had 0 shots on goal.
2 games, 0 shots.
Yeah. And it's just atrocious. I said this last night. He got the ball on the left-hand side, dinked it past the player, had a wide open on the left, and decided to stop halfway through his run to bring it back and make a terrible pass. Rashford 2 years ago would have tucked that all the way down the wing, put it in, or even tried to do a chop and come back in and shoot. There's something wrong with him. He needs to be dropped. Send him off to the Aldives, wherever Sancho freaking went. I don't really care what you want to do with him, but he needs to be dropped.
Go get holistic.
But I believe, and I said this to Mikey last night, I'm excited because we've seen for the last 3 games, right, Bruno Fernandes start up front.
Yeah,
let's drop this false 9 crap, or if you want to keep it, at least have Zerski there and drop Bruno back, because Bruno has a tendency to run forward. Zerski has a tendency to drop back, okay, to pick the ball up and move it forward. So why not play those two together? They, as long as they communicate, they're dropping back and forth. If you want to play the false 9, you have to play those two. But it is going to mean Bruno dropping back a little bit. I would honestly swap Mazwari and Dalot. I'd swap them over.
Yeah,
put Dalot back on the right. He's not a left footed. He played well there at the weekend. He did. He had that beautiful cross, but he's not a left back. Whereas Mazwari has played a lot more on the left than Dalot has. So I'd swap those two. Bring Dalot in, and then put Ugarte in. Everything else I'd pretty much keep the same. But to be fair, Ahmed hasn't had the last great two left. I know he scored, but you know, at the end of the day, but the rest of the game hasn't been exactly great for him for the last two games either. So what do we do with that?
Ahmed has to stay in. I don't think he played bad enough for a drop. He starts.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, he starts. No, I agree. He grabbed a goal out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, he made it happen on his own.
If anything, no, his play was reflective of the rest of the team. Like, his shit play was reflective of the rest of the team. Like, they were all having a hard time, and Brighton was making everything. Like, all our passing lanes were super narrow that game. So, like, they were all having a hard time.
And
hey, did anyone see Anthony cross with his right foot this week?
He got, you know what? That guy
maybe
played him so far inside.
That was his first pass. His first touch of the ball. He comes in and passes it off the touchline.
It
almost
too.
Creates a chance for us.
You had a little wiggle going like, oh, shit, I got to do it, but no choice.
Well, he knows he got to do that.
He knows he got to do it.
He knows he's on a short leash, right?
But he ain't ready to play.
I got a couple. I got a couple messages.
Hit it.
Glenn says Dalot played 20 games for his country at left back. That's different, playing for Portugal as opposed to, and the national game is different. Garnacho in, Delict, Xerxes must start. That's Ronaldo. Beto again with Beto news saying that Hermoso is a free agent.
Who?
After the window to sign him, he's been offered a 3-year deal. He turned 29 this year. I think he's talking about Hermoso. And
Beto has been trying to get a Hermoso. I've heard him write about him a lot. Who is this guy?
We're Xerxes.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, the only person who should not play is Marcus Rashford. He has lost.
I'm with that.
You all know I'm the one who backs Marcus Rashford, but I just can't anymore. We got production out of everybody. Garnacho, I would hate to see him on the bench for this game. I would like to see him start, be impactful. He has earned the right. The kid has played every time he's come on. He's done everything right. He missed a shot, but I thought Rashford should have been more decisive, more of a dog, and bang that one in instead of passing to. I bet Garnacho, the reason why Garnacho missed it, he was probably like, why are you passing?
I was like, I thought you was. Yeah.
Garnacho was probably thinking, I would have never passed that to you, homie. I would have crushed that in there. But anyway. The lid has to play. I'm with you guys. The Garte has to play.
Yep.
I would want Mazzarri to line up with Salah. I would like to see him go against Salah.
Woo!
You don't like it? You don't like it, Mikey?
No, I think that's the test you want to see. Like, put him up against. Yeah. I want to see you up against the best wingers. I want to see you up against the best competition. Can you do it? Can you do it, or are we gonna, or can you kind of do it? Do we need to tweak it a little bit if you are up against, say, you're playing against a Doku on that them type man, guys with pace, guys with power, who could play the ball wide, who can go in, cut in, score a goal, guys that will give you something different every time they have the ball.
Let's not
can you adapt to that?
Because if good point, Mikey. Because if Salah is giving our left back problems, then who's ever on that side, if it's Garnacho or Rashford, they're going to have to come back and crowd the space. And are they going to be willing to do that and sprint 60 yards forward, you know, three or four times a game?
Exactly.
A couple comments here before we get to Sean. Brian Herbison said Sterling sucks. And Brian also said Ugarte is in form from Copa 2. Nice. Sean, you were trying to say something?
Yeah, like, let's not forget that Mazwari played with Bayern last year and ended up in the Champions League final, which semi-final, should I say. And to be quite frank, you know, there was times in there that I thought they were going to win that game. So, you know, he's played up against the best in the world. So, he's been in the Champions League every year since he's been at Bayern. So he knows how to play there. He knows how to defend these good right backs. Right wingers, should I say.
You know,
that's why playing against Salah and Doku and them man on a weekly basis and whoever the hell else in the Premier League, where it's rougher and tougher and a lot of stuff. This is a top league. Is he doing that? I want to see it. Because who's he playing against in Germany?
I'm not just saying Germany. I'm on about the Champions League too. You know, we're talking about the best competition in the world here. So they made the semifinals. He knows how to do it. Yeah, you are right in that aspect. I do want to see him. That's why I think he should start on the left.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually something that I didn't think about. I would have kept the Loste on the left, but that's actually a good idea to put him there. And then Ugarte, I mean, he's just been chomping at the bit, right? He's just been waiting to get signed. He only wants United, so he hasn't been on the squad. He's been practicing. Let's get him out there, right? Destroying up in the middle of the pitch. Get the three guys up there, Garnacho with Xerxes and Ahmad, and just let those boys play.
Let him play. You know, I don't think Mount's going to be... Is he still had a knock or something?
Yeah, we got to follow up on that.
It's a small injury.
Our bench is going to be good. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, if you have on the bench coming off Mount and Rashford potentially as well, right?
Yep.
I bet he doesn't pull Bruno out this game, though.
No, he better not.
What's up with Bandido?
Bandido.
Yeah. What do we got, about 5 minutes?
Yeah, we got five minutes. Okay.
Okay, since we're history merchants, as United fans, we wanted to bring up at the end of the window a transfer that gutted you. And I'll go first. For me, it was David Beckham. So this was not the age of, you know, information and you're getting updates on all of this. And a lot of us, we didn't know about, you know, the goings on between him and Sir Alex Ferguson or Alex Ferguson. And I happened to be in Spain for a wedding, and the news was everywhere. And I wasn't in Madrid either. I was in southern Spain, and it was, oh, Beckham's coming to Spain, and here he comes, you know, his circus with him. And like Casey said, it's, you know, one of the reasons I started following United in the 90s was because, you know, David Beckham and Giggs and those fellows. So I was really gutted by that one. I'd like to hear from you guys, some of the younger fans.
Yeah, since mine is similar to yours, it's Beckham. It's the reason why I really, you know, I was finishing college those days and I fell in love with it. You know, my mom was playing United on TV. So, you know, it was there since Yard. So, but then when I had the adult awareness to be like, you know, I'm going to check out United. It was because of Beckham's drew me in. So there it is.
I'll say it had to be Ronaldo after we lost in 09. Because it was on the wall, right? Because he was complaining for a while, but it's how he did it. He did it to us twice. But the first time he was saying like, oh, I feel like a slave because they won't let me leave. And da da da. I'm like, dude, we made you here. Why do you want to mess this up? We got something going. You won the Champions League the year before. But that last Champions League loss and him just wanting to play for Real, like every player wants to do, just that hurt. Because I knew Real was going to be unstoppable then.
Let me cut you off. Sorry. After Real, I mean, Cristiano, I hated Real Madrid. I hated them. But okay, bad. Sean, I guess it's your turn.
I like you guys, younger guys. Real quick, does it have to be a transfer or can it be someone that's kind of retired? Because
he said transfer, but I'm with you, Sean, because I was going to go with Cantona retiring.
That's what I'm going with. Yeah, Cantona was a bigger loss for me because it was so early. He retired so early. Yeah. So that was a bigger loss for me than kind of Beckham was.
Same.
You know, the Beckham thing I could. After the boot situation, I could see Beckham coming, so it wasn't that big of a, you know, situation for me. There's been so many players that, you know, throughout my time of supporting Man United that have come and go, but the one that really hurt the most for me was Eric Cantona retiring too early.
Same. I think for me, the youngest, like, United fan around here, right, for me it was Cristiano Ronaldo. That's because I was in school and everybody was rocking that that Cristiano Ronaldo haircut with the United jersey. Every time playing any like pickup like football matches, it was like, oh, I'm Cristiano Ronaldo with the United jersey. So that's one of the biggest reasons. Also, I was like following United, like such a big club. And then to see that from him leaving to Real was like kind of heartbreaking. Like, wait, you're leaving this huge club and you're going to Real? Like, wait, this doesn't make sense. So that's something that was much more heartbreaking for me.
It's a good thing there wasn't Twitter back then. They would have slated Cristiano.
It was Twitter back then.
Yeah, but it wasn't like how
it was.
It is
09.
I can't remember when I got.
But back then, I think, and then to be fair, I think back then Twitter wasn't as toxic as it is today. Now,
real quick, Score prediction. That's a great question. Oh, no, wait a minute. You just say yours, did you, Sean?
Yeah, I said mine.
Cantona.
We're saying the retirement, not so much.
See, retirement don't bother me as much as going to another team. Yeah, but that disgusts me.
That hurt.
Okay, score predictions. You got Scousers real quick.
1-0. United.
I'm actually going to go with a loss if Ugarte and Dalit don't start. But if they start, I think we win 2-1.
All right. Bandito.
2-1 United over the Vermin.
Sweet.
Rats.
My time?
Yeah.
1-0. Anthony winner.
Who's Anthony?
He also scored the winner the last time Arne Slot and Ten Hag faced each other.
Wow, bro, you're too nostalgic. You're tripping.
Martinez was in that game. Anthony scored the winner. 3-2 Ten Hag.
That's crazy.
1-0 Anthony.
He's not even on the bus, my dude.
1-0 Anthony.
And it's a home match. He's in the stands. He's in the Stratford end.
I got it just like these guys.
You're smoking. Send some my way now.
I got it.
Go-Gurts, baby. It's real fire.
2-1 United over the Scousers. Come on, let's go. 2-1.
I feel like we're going to catch him off guard. We're going to hit him with something they haven't seen, no one's seen, and it's going to be a 3-1. Scousers frustrated again. International break. And I'm going to be petty the whole time. This has been a great show. Good to see you guys. Everybody with the well wishes on my social media, thank you. All the love. I appreciate it. Your health is important. All you people in here is important. I love everybody, and I love that I was able to be on this show with you.
Welcome back.
Brian says, what it says? I can't read.
We got to wrap it up.
We got to wrap it up anyway. This is everybody at Those Casual Reds show, the finest panel in the stateside. We're out. Up the fucking Reds. Beat the Scousers. Peace. Oh, and United fans on tomorrow.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.